following program is brought to you by your friends at Podcast One.
Today's Corolla Classics is brought to you by LifeLock. Increase cybersecurity attacks on pharmaceutical workers' phones and tablets as they work from home. They have sensitive medical data and it could be exposed, so it's important to understand how cybercrime and identity theft are affecting all of our lives. Every day we put our information at risk on the internet, we might not even know it. Cybercriminals around the world keep finding new ways to steal identities, and you could miss certain identity threats by just monitoring your credit. So good thing there's LifeLock. It detects a wide range of identity threats, like, for instance, your social security number being for sale on the dark web. And if they detect that your information has potentially been compromised, LifeLock sends you an alert. Tell them about it, Gio.
No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses. LifeLock can see threats you might miss on your own. Join now and save up to 25% off your first year by using promo code Adam. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK or head to LifeLock.com. Use promo code Adam for 25% off.
Hello and welcome to Corolla Classics for Saturday, January 9th, 2021. We're back. Thanks so much for tuning in. You know how the show goes. We play some of the greatest moments of the Adam Carolla Show right here in clip form. My name's Chris Loxamana, executive producer of the Adam Carolla Show. And with me, as always, Corolla archivist, super fan Giovanni.
Happy New Year, everybody. It's our first recording of 2021.
Yes, Happy New Year to you, Gio. I haven't talked to you yet.
Yeah, and I'm quite offended.
I know. I'm sorry, man. But let's make it up by playing an incredible episode.
I know how we
can
do that.
Episode.
I got two killer episodes composed for today and tomorrow on the Corolla Classics feed.
Well, let's
stay tuned, and you'll be hearing some great clips.
Yeah, so let's get started with the first clip. This one, we're going to take it back to 2017. We have a Q&A, a caller. His name's Pete. He had a question, and Joe Coy was in studio.
This is the hilarious Black Pilot bit that I completely forgot about, and while doing my searching and checking for clips for things for people, I was like, oh, I stumbled upon this little gem. It's a little short piece. It's just the length of Pete's call. It's Adam Carolla Show 2024. Joe Coy, Gina Grad, Brian Bishop. It's from March of 2017. Let's find out what this whole Black Pilot thing is about.
Pete?
What's going on? Ace Man.
Pete Mann, you're an airline pilot.
Yes, sir.
And you're young. You're 29, so you're probably not like the senior guy over at American, but you're flying smaller aircraft?
Yeah, I've been at it about almost nine years now.
Wow.
Yeah, I got into it young, so yeah.
What equipment you piloting?
Well, actually, you've actually been on our airline, actually. It's on the CRJ 700.
It's a
little bit of both.
That's a turboprop?
Oh, no, it's a jet. It's 70 seats. I think you guys
It's a regional jet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's Alaska Airlines?
Should have said hi.
No, you weren't on my plane, luckily, because I would have made a scene, but, whatever.
Oh, is that a loop-de-loop?
Is that Alaskan?
Yeah. we're like one of the regional carriers that fly for a whole bunch of different ones.
I get
it. It's kind of like, so.
You know, the best part about those planes is the regional IPA they hand you.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's
absolutely
nice. Pete, what is that huge briefcase that only pilots and occasional ambulance chasing attorneys will ever tote?
So you're absolutely right about the how it's kind of been like everything could be replaced by a tablet, because it is now. If you see those things, they're getting more rare and rare. So what's happening is they used to be filled with company policy manuals, like the SOP, the standard operating procedures, and the flight operations manual, and then also all the charts you'd need. But now all that stuff's gone digital because they figured out the weight. It was actually burning more fuel to carry that thing around, which weighed anywhere from 30 to 40 pounds, and then now it's been replaced by the tablet.
Why doesn't everyone just turn to me for everything all the time? And then a follow-up question, why do people argue with me? Like, you're not a pilot. You don't run an airline. What do you know?
Yeah,
like,
we need hard copies.
Where are your wing pins?
Yeah. Thank you, Pete. So now are you tablet? Are you digitized now or Africanized?
We're tablet.
Definitely not Africanized.
Yeah.
Digitized.
How many black pilots are there in your neck of the woods there, Pete?
Oh, boy. He's flying like the Seattle-Tacoma route.
Oh, that's not Jesus Christ.
I want to say I think at the entire airline, maybe we have somewhere around 4,200 pilots. I think we're somewhere around maybe 50,
Jesus.
I would guess.
50?
Statistically, 50. Out of 4,200.
5-0? That's, oh, 42. Oh, sorry. I was picturing.
That's almost 1%.
I was picturing when he said 42. I was like, oh, he's got 450. Not too. Oh, no.
Uh-huh.
Okay. No, yeah. Peter, have you ever flown with a black pilot before?
No one has. Lived to tell the tale.
Yes, I have. Yeah. Maybe.
A little slower.
Less than a handful of times.
A little slower, cruising.
Hey, seat Denzel, laid back all the way. Denzel saved a lot of people.
Seat laid back, way back.
He's flown with luck, Tuskegee. He's a good guy.
That's right.
Pete, more
really funny thing.
Hey, Peter, you mind if I borrow your bag?
What you putting in there, La Tuskegee?
You know, mine's filled with manuals, you know?
Manuals?
Yeah, mine's a little full. I need to put a couple items in yours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that looks like what we used to call a dime bag.
Yeah. Don't worry. It's for the plane. You know what I mean?
Hold on. That looks like herbs or something in there.
Yo, it's oregano, motherfucker.
Oh, okay.
Hey, open up your bag real quick. Hold this for me.
This get through bags TSA. Are only for the manuals.
Hey, look. Listen, Pete.
Yeah.
Listen. We both have matching bags, right?
Yeah.
All right. You put your bag down next to my bag.
Uh-huh.
I'll pick up your bag. You pick up my bag.
I think
just for fun, motherfucker.
If I could open my bag, I think I could pull out something in a manual that said we can't do that. I can't get to it right now.
I don't have that manual, Peter. You know what I'm saying? You dig?
Yeah.
So I'm going to put my bag down next to your foot.
Mm-hmm.
You put your bag next to my foot.
Uh-huh.
And then we just grab each other's bags.
Okay.
And walk to the plane.
Hey, speaking of flying.
Uh-huh.
What's up with those killer bees? When are they going to get here? I mean, they're Africanized, so yeah. I feel like
well,
you might
we just
have
call them killer bees.
Oh, yeah, you don't call them
Africanized. Yeah. We drop the beginning part, you know what I mean?
Yeah, one
that's like that's like saying Chinese food in China.
Right,
you just call that shit food.
We just call it food.
We just call that bees.
Yeah, and then no one confuses them for
the
83 Miami Dolphins defense.
Yeah.
No, okay.
Bees. Sorry. Yeah.
Hey, I'm going to Starbucks. You want something?
What's that?
Starbucks.
What's that? Is that a movie? Like is that a movie? Is that
it's
sci-fi?
Like, it's a place that's like the $7 coffee. Well, Tuskegee, I just want to do it because I want to see her try to write your name on the side of a cup.
Come on, man.
Yeah. That's what white people do. We spend like,
and you write your name on
like
the cup.
$13,000 a year on coffee.
Ain't that some shit?
Yeah.
No coffee for me.
No coffee? Yeah. I don't know. It's funny. It's white people spend tons of money on coffee.
Hey, man, just grab this bag and shut the fuck up.
Oh, okay. Whatever you say, Tuskegee. Yeah. I mean, lots of ski.
Just call me Ski.
Catherine, or the PA has been on the whole time.
I got to get out of here.
The whole plane heard everything.
Hey, Peter, I got to go.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Here's the keys.
I don't think I think it's a push button start. Hey, Pete.
What's up? Yes, sir.
How do you fire up those turbines?
It depends on the plane. They're either push button or they're little knobs you twist and they hold. And then when the starter cuts out, it clicks back to center.
I see. All right. I suggest the clapper.
I wish.
All right. So now everyone's gone. There's only a handful of old timers that are still on the old sort of leather briefcase, right?
Yeah, very few. Some guys cling to that thing, but I think it's a piece of shit to lug around. It's heavy as hell. And it's like $400 for one of those things, too.
I know. It's all like a cow and a half on
and
there.
And there's a standard one. There's a standard pilot one.
It's the one where the handle goes through the cutout.
The flappy,
and the flap.
And you notice those are the bags where the papers always fly out.
Yeah.
I always see papers
flying out.
They need
a thumb drive.
Peter, how many Asian pilots do you have? Is it less?
I'd say there's more Asian than black guys.
More lady pilots or more black
pilots? How many lady pilots?
More lady than black.
Way more ladies than I'd say Asian or black dudes.
Any black lady
or Asian ladies?
Black ladies?
I've flown with, I think, one black lady ever.
Ooh. How about an Asian lady?
Couple, yeah.
Plenty.
Really?
Plenty.
I have a theory.
How many Latinos? One more question. How many Latinos?
Just
mechanics.
I got
him, Adam.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Hey, start the plane! Hey, Peter! Start the plane! I'm flying, Peter!
Hey.
Hey, guess what's inside my bag?
Tell me, Chupacabra.
You're not going to believe this. Corona.
Corona?
Corona! We're going to buy! Where are we going?
I didn't even know your real name, Chupi, but everyone just calls you Chupacabra because you're the only Latin flyer around here.
No one ever sees me.
we don't. We're not allowed to bring cervezas. Is that what you call
cervezas?
It's a cerveza.
And lemon.
Huh?
Lemon.
Lemon?
Lemon, yeah. Okay, put it in cervezas. Right,
we're not allowed to bring that on the plane.
Hey, Peter. Guess what I have in my pilot bag? Ice.
Brochures?
Ice.
Oh, no.
I fill it with ice.
No, you can't do that. No.
I fill it with ice.
No.
And I put barrels and bottles of cerveza.
You can't. Hold on.
Oh, we're going to have a good time flying to Portland.
Chupi. Chupa. Capri.
See?
We're not even supposed to drink in like a 24-hour period. You know, it's not even when we get back to the hotel tonight, it's not going to be okay for us to drink. We have to turn around early for like a 7 a.m. flight tomorrow,
that
okay?
That is correct, mijo.
Yeah, so drinking on the plane is definitely out because it falls in that 24-hour period, and then we'll be operating a plane.
I totally understand that. But,
yeah,
mijo,
yeah.
Who's going to know? Oh. I'm not going to say anything.
Well, you're yelling it pretty loud here in the terminal.
Yeah. Hey, go ahead.
Yeah. I'll tell you what. I'm going to leave you alone with your thoughts for a second. I'm going to go to Starbucks.
Starbucks.
No, Starbucks. It's where white people spend $7 on coffee. You probably could have like three cervezas for that. But
yeah, you can a lot more if you want.
You want like a chai latte or something?
Huh?
Chai latte? It's not alcoholic. It's $8.
I have no idea what you're talking about, but you're my kind of guy. What about a cerveza?
No. We spend $8 for no alcohol.
That is the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
It makes your teeth brown, so it's kind of... It makes up for it.
Teeth? Who needs teeth when you have cerveza?
Okay, Chupi.
Where do I put this chicken?
Just wait here. La Tuskegee's over there. I think we may have got our bags.
Hey, Stiggy! What's up?
I think we may have gotten our bags mixed up or something. Make sure and keep yours separate from ours.
This bag is filled with ice.
Yeah, but when it melts, it's going to be a disaster.
That's close to me.
Pete, is that how it goes generally when you're about to get on a flight?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. All right, Pete. So, Whitey, then ladies.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
What if you could, and then a lot of women pilots now, then we go Asian, then we go Hispanic, then we go black. What if we make a separation between the lesbian ladies and the non-lesbian ladies? I mean, you know, you don't ask to see paperwork, but you know what I'm saying?
You get a vibe after a good, four-hour flight. Yeah.
Long-term parking filled with Subarus. Yep.
That's right. They actually have associations for every, I guess, like, it would be, minority pilot group. There'd be, like, there's, like, a women in aviation and, like, a black pilot association. I'm serious. And they have conferences every year.
Yeah. Welcome to the Black Pilot Association. Thank you all for coming. Yeah. Literally talking to you two.
Thank you both for coming.
Thank you both.
That's right.
So messed up. The keynote's going to be delivered by Denzel Standin from Pretty Flight. He doesn't know anything about aviation, but that's about all we could do.
It's been celebrity in our world.
Those movies, painful.
So do they have a lesbian pilots club?
They have a gay pilots, yeah.
Oh, they do?
Wow. That's cool.
Yeah.
But now, how do you think the gay pilot breaks down between ladies and fellas?
Oh, I'd say like 90% guys, 80% guys, somewhere around there.
Really?
Interesting.
Yeah.
It's interesting. Cause
it's like 92% male pilots in general. So I'm figuring it's just going to follow the same lines.
I would not follow those same lines because just on loosely, just from observation of doing a lot of traveling, never even thought about it, but not seen a lot of what I would think of traditionally as gay. In the pilot.
Well, what is that supposed to mean, Adam? Huh? What does that mean?
You just shit out nine stereotypes in the last 10 minutes.
Yeah, I'm offended by that one. What is a gay pilot supposed to look like, Adam?
I will put it to you this
Glitter
way.
Glitter on his cap?
I think we've all seen...
Patented leather shoes?
Prancing down the terminal?
We've all
his
seen...
His pilot bag says pink on it. It's from Victoria's Secret.
It says juicy.
Yeah.
We've seen the gay flight attendant.
He comes on with confetti.
We're able to identify the gay flight attendant.
Yeah, they're called flight attendants.
I'm just saying, whatever you see, Seattle, the guys, twinkle in that eye, I've not seen it in as many pilots. So,
yeah. Very few. It's kind of, I don't know, sometimes they equate to like a good old boys club, which is kind of, I guess you could call it that, but yeah, you really don't, see, like, yeah, the flight attendants, that's, I would say, depending on the airline, I mean, you could run 70 to 80% game.
Hold on, my dad's a flight attendant for 27 years.
No way. Yeah.
Really?
He retired from the Air Force.
He's got a secret.
And then he went, he's a flight attendant.
Really?
Yeah. And he's been there for a long time. He was there when it was America West in 1984, to be exact.
What did his husband
do? How many years is that?
32 years.
I would be terrified.
What was America West?
He's now, they're American Airlines.
They're American West. Oh.
American West Airways. Yeah.
In Phoenix is where the headquarters was.
Yep. It's still there.
He'd be kind of terrifying if he was ex-military and now bringing you your drinks. I would not ask for shit. I would stay out of his way. I'd say yes or no, sir.
Yeah.
Was he angry?
Yeah, he would say, no. He loves big planes ever since he was a kid. He was a big fan of C-5s.
What was his route?
He was a C-5 guy in the military. He would load C-5s for war, so war cargo. So he'd send food and supplies. And then when he retired, he was just like, I got to fly. I got to be on that plane again. And then he, America West.
Wow.
America West didn't do the long distance stuff, did they?
No. He just wanted to be on a big plane, then he retired in Phoenix.
Hey,
that was the last time I saw my father.
Pete? How about you crash the next, pardon the pun, I know you don't like to say crash the party over there, but how about you crash the next gay pilot meeting over there?
Hey, it's Peter! Peter!
Anyone can go to those things. Like,
who's the new guy?
80%.
Hey, Peter, we know anyone can go to those things. It's not like they don't like bad black people for coming in.
I would say, here's what I would say.
You gotta work your way in.
If you don't want to arouse any suspicions, like if you show up and someone you recognize goes, Pete, what are you doing here? You just go, just taking a me day. And everyone will leave you alone.
Yeah. Well, welcome aboard, sailor.
You'll pull a seat out for you there. Mm-hmm. Now,
and it's
then
it's
I need a head count.
Of all places.
It's in Palm Springs. What? I'm telling you that this 90-10 ratio with the gay and the dudes that you've taken from the heterosexual world does not just slide laterally right across into Palm Desert with that meeting. I think you're going to see a fair bit of folks that you think may be a dude from behind with the shorter cropped hair.
Overrepresented.
I like to go there just to see my dad there going, hey, what? This is kind of crazy, huh?
All right.
I was going to Joshua Tree.
Thank you, Pete.
I was here at Coachella.
One quick thing. Oh, by the way, you're the man show bit, the drunken pilot bit. Like, it's a thing of legends amongst us, so thanks for that.
Yeah, that was, thank you. That was back when we had that bit pitched for a long time, and I just kept saying, how is this going to work? And Jimmy kept saying, we're just going to get in a pilot's outfits, and then we're going to go to the airport, and we're going to screw around with everybody, and we'll film it, like, at the baggage carousel. We'll lay down in the baggage carousel, and then we'll go to the line where they're buying tickets and, screw with people and fall over and stuff.
What year was this?
Just before 9/11.
Oh, my.
Yes, and I was like, even before 9/11, this is LAX, which is not a chillax airport, and I was like, they're going to arrest us, Jimmy. And he's like, we got it. Get the pilot outfit. Yeah, thanks, Pete. I could see that being a favorite.
Can I ask Peter a question real quick?
Yes.
And a serious question, Peter. How many near crashes or incidents that you go through when you fly and you don't say anything to the people on board?
Like
something is about to happen.
Incidents.
Yeah, incidents.
Put it this way, in 9 years of airline flying, zero.
Wow. All right.
But we already know Peter's math's a little.
Thanks, Pete.
That means every day. Yeah. Literally every day.
I think the things you wouldn't know about is near misses, like how close they come to you. Hear about it, but you wouldn't know it in the plane. The other part, you'd probably feel.
Feel it,
And that was Joe Coy.
There was also a Mexican pilot.
With some hot pilot talk.
Joe Coy's character work and accent work is so nuanced and hilarious, and I think it's beyond any criticism or anything. It's, you know, besides the fact of his own multiracial ethnicity, it's so lovingly done. Like, I always go back to Brown Sugar and how it's almost a meta commentary on race issues, and it's got this woven and smart edge to it, in addition to just being funny and sounding funny.
Yeah, I've told the story a few times about how when Joe was at the live show at Amalfi, and that was pretty much the first time he was really on the podcast, and he did all of his character work, and then the next day Adam is just going on and on about him to the staff. Man, That was improv. That was how you do it.
Some people can't tell the difference. I think they're like, oh, he's just doing an accent. It's like, no, no, this is really nuanced and genius for somebody who maybe is like a hack and isn't as smart or funny as him.
Yeah.
And I don't think they can be compared. That's like what Joe Coy does is on another level.
And Joe is the only guy that I could think of where Adam, the next day, and this is after one of his later appearances, Adam comes in and goes on air and talks about how he blew it. He listened to a recording of Joe and him yesterday, and he was like, man, Joe was leading me down this way, and I didn't realize it. And he was kind of kicking himself in the butt for it.
I remember that clip. It's very funny. Not the clip itself isn't, but it's funny that Adam would even care about that. Like,
yeah.
It shows how different he is as a podcaster and how different he is when it comes to the flow of comedy. There's many other podcasters who wouldn't go, oh, I didn't pick up this one improv thread in the middle of a live show, and here, let me show the audience where I screwed up. It was a really interesting bit of game tape.
Yeah, exactly. I've never seen him do that before, but he respects Joe that much, and he loves him that much. Me too. All right, let's get going with another Hall of Fame ACS guest. He was already on this year, but let's not stop there. Greg Fitzsimmons.
FitzDog with his annual as early as possible in the year appearance, which he does every single year. It's something he's been doing to the radio show. I know what you do, Greg. I know what's about.
He's actually not going to be in this particular clip, but
he'll be in tomorrow's portion. We're going to be playing this split over two days because it's a large portion of a older show.
The whole
this
episode's
one is Adam
good.
Carolla Show 334, the second episode of the ACS format. Adam comes in guns blazing in this opening 30-minute chunk, Teresa and Bald Brian. He's so happy to get the band back together, talking about the pirate ship and where they're going to go from there. It's a great bit of energy for what Adam was kind of saying earlier this week on the first episode when he came back. And it's just hilarious. This is Adam Carolla Show 334 from June of 2010. We got to tea with a little bit of news. No Greg yet. If you want to hear the rest of it, tune in tomorrow on the Carolla Classics feed. Until then, check it out.
Mandate, get it the fuck on. I'm excited to be here. I'm really excited about what we're doing here, and I'm really excited about the new direction. I just love Bald Brian and his playback machine over there, and Teresa Strasser. I like seeing Angie bopping around in her tight pants.
I was so happy to see Angie. It just felt like coming home.
Yep, the band is back together, and we built the pirate ship, and we're setting sail for parts unknown. Teresa, what's going on, baby girl?
News?
Okay. I'll tell you what.
Personal news.
Oh, well, how are you feeling personally?
I feel pretty good, although I'm a little concerned about Brian.
Brian's in his fifth day of chemo?
Yeah.
Number two.
And I say I'm concerned because I can't really complain about any health problems of my own.
Mm.
You know what I mean? When he's on his last day of chemo.
I'm on day five of a five-day cycle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's when you feel your worst.
I got to say, though, here's if it makes you feel any better. I'm capable of watching like an entire 60-minute special on ethnic cleansing and Somalia and then go, Jesus Christ, I should never complain again. And then 10 minutes later, I'll be going, this beef stroganoff's a little dry. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm saying it's dry. I have to take a sip of Heineken in between bites. So I'm pretty bummed out about that.
In between every bite.
Yeah, sometimes. You know, sometimes not every other bite, but mostly in between every bite.
Can't go 10 bites.
No, hell no.
So you can get over that quickly.
Been overcooked. I find I can bounce back when it comes to the complaining department.
Well, good. Then
you're resilient.
Well, yes. I will say that I had this, I alluded to this briefly yesterday, but I had an endoscopy. Have you ever had that?
Ooh.
They put a camera down your throat to look at your stomach because ever since I had my C-section, I've had these like terrible stomach aches. Mm-hmm. And they can't figure out what it is. So they give you a little Demerol and Valium.
Mm.
See, it looks like I'm a junkie. I'm all bruised up over there.
Yeah. Or maybe your pimp was just giving you a little strong hand.
Because I didn't bring home enough cash?
Yeah. It's just like, you know, sort of grab that arm like, woman, spread your cheeks. I know you're holding.
He's got to keep his pimp hands strong.
Yeah.
So you're awake, but you don't care. You're so sedated. In an instant, I understood all junkies.
Yeah.
I have never felt so good in my whole fucking life. I really could have sat there for hours with a camera in my throat, and he kept saying, like, are you tired? No. Are you tired? No. And, you know, and he kept asking, you know, more Valium, more Demerol. And I started to feel pretty good. Then I noticed, well, it's strange that I don't care that there's no camera and I'm not gagging. I guess they give you the Valium to relax that.
And also that it was a cock cam that he put on the end of his joint. and use
he told
that.
Me that was just what they use now.
Yeah. Well, let's be honest. Most women are used to chugging, you know, having a penis in their mouth versus, you know, a bunch of cable.
Well, let me say this. It is my husband's birthday, 40th birthday tonight, and I'm here. So you can imagine what this morning was like.
Yeah.
Anyway, I finished the procedure. Mm-hmm. This is a couple days ago. Mm-hmm. And they make you wait there like half an hour, and they make someone drive you home. And I'm still pretty high, but I don't realize how high I am. And they said, do you need a wheelchair out? And no, I'm fine.
Sure.
And then my husband looks over at me, and I'm like leaned over the desk at the checkout. And I say, I think perhaps I do need a wheelchair.
I thought as a matter of procedure, at least when they check you out of the hospital, they just roll you out anyway. I don't know. Then they just dump you once they get on the other side of those automatic doors. But everyone know you may not have been in a hospital, or you weren't a hospital?
I was in a hospital for my CC. Yeah, I was in a hospital, but it was outpatient. So maybe they don't wheel you out as a matter of
course. The best state is being awake and not giving a shit.
Oh,
that's the best
God.
Way to go through life. That really is the best.
And
being
it lasts
passed
it.
Out is just passed
no,
out.
No, that's no good. That's just like being dead.
Being numb is just kind of like your foot fell asleep or something.
Right.
But or your ass fell asleep on a long car ride. But being awake and not giving a shit.
It was so good.
You know what you're like at that point? You're like an animal. That's
right.
As close as you ever come to being a dog.
You're Molly.
Like, hey, everyone, look at my asshole. Who cares?
I don't care.
I'm going to lick my pussy in front of everyone.
I don't care about anything.
Hey, guess who has to shit while you're talking to neighbors?
Brian, don't you wish you were recording this? I'm going to lick my pussy in front of everyone, and you don't have that, okay? That hurts worse than chemo. So I get home, and I'm feeling good, and I'm thinking this is going to be a great afternoon because I'm going to be with the baby, but I have help, you know, so don't drop him or anything.
Right.
And I get to be with the baby.
It's more likely you smother him, by the way.
And I don't have to feel guilty that I'm not doing anything productive because I'm a bit high. But it starts to fade, but I'm still kind of high, and I get a call from my agent. Can you be in Santa Monica at 4:30?
Wow.
This is a big audition, and I don't think I can say. But to be a sidekick for a dude who's going to have a TV show. Late night.
Finally giving Jackie Chan that talk show he so richly deserves.
And he needs a sidekick.
Mm-hmm.
So I said,
I like
is
that.
There any way they could see me the next day?
Right.
Is there any other day they can see me? No. Need to go over there at 4:30.
Mm.
So I
saw the breakdown. They were looking for a Jew that was beaked up on Demerol. So to be fair to your agent, that's just good. Yeah, it's good representation there.
Well, I normally suffer from, as you know, stage fright, as well as many forms of chronic self-doubt. However, when I'm high on Demerol and probably shouldn't be driving across town to Santa Monica for an audition, I don't have any of those things. I'm thinking, this is my job. I'm going to nail this. They send me the script. I kind of rewrite it, and I add some jokes. I'm going to nail this. This is my job because I'm high. So I can't remember why I hate myself or why I assume people are not going to like me.
But, you know, you're so self-deprecating. You do well in those environments. Not so well that you've gotten a gig in the last 5 years, but you do well as
wow.
a little sidebar. No, I'm just, here's what I'm
wow.
saying. You are wildly competent.
Wow.
You're wildly competent. You really are. Inside
I'm
of you.
I'm in a slump. This close to
okay.
The Onion. The Onion, okay. New show. This
oh,
close.
Really?
No.
Okay. Your innards feel... How's our mics, by the way? Should we be potted down a little bit or
are
something? I feel like we're a little hot here. In your innards,
Your
gut feels like there's a bunch of kittens that are in a spin cycle of a whirlpool washing machine. But your outer demeanor is calculated and confident, smart, and witty.
It's an odd dichotomy because I remember Dr. Drew coming in one day and ironically just before our show got canceled and he specifically said, this has the stench of success. I know it.
Our old radio
show? Yes, our old radio show. And then I said, really? And he said, yeah.
Whatever.
It's just working. I smell it. I know it. I have the instinct. This thing is going the distance. And I said, that's funny because I feel anxious every single day.
Yeah.
And he said, what?
No way.
You can't hear that.
Yeah.
But I felt it. So I just to complete the story, I go.
And then Jack Silver came in and said, two words, people, wing bowl. Huge in Philly.
No one hosts a wing bowl like I do. When I would have
huge
the And I have the handheld mic in the kitchen of the KLSX.
Yeah.
Doing the, yeah. So anyway, I get to Santa Monica, and maybe I shouldn't have been driving, but maybe I thought, I convinced myself the drugs were out of my system, and yet I felt like I was going to do well, so they weren't. So I get to the waiting room. There's nothing but models and some former Playboy bunnies, which is never, never good. But I still am thinking.
I say you're always a Playboy bunny, by the way.
Right?
It's like you're not an ex-Marine.
You're always.
You're a retired Marine. Right. You're a Marine.
Semper Fine.
Yeah, you are.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I get a little nervous whenever that happens. Sure. But I feel good because I think none of these girls are going to be remotely funny, and probably they haven't rewritten any of this copy. But they are all hotter than me. But that's okay. I'm still feeling fine because I'm probably still high. But they're running about a half an hour behind.
And I
start crashing.
Uh-oh.
I notice my hands shaking a little bit.
Emeralds coming off.
Yeah. And but I'm not really sure what to do. Like, do I leave? I mean, my body is just crashing. So, but they're just videotaping you. You're not with the host.
And when are they going to announce this host, and where does he come from?
This is a guy you know, a very famous guy, who's going to have a late night show.
Some other place.
I'll tell you as soon as it starts. I mean, you're not supposed to tell because he hasn't. But I've seen promos for it already.
Oh, well, then
so
you
who
can
cares?
Tell.
Craig Kilborn.
Oh, okay.
And I'm thinking, geez, I've already worked with a douchebag for. Wait. No.
You have not plumbed the depths of douchebaggery until you've worked with Craig Kilborn.
Please tell me that because I kept thinking. Rejection is God's protection. Like, maybe there's a reason that when I got in there, I really stank because...
Well, he's a massive douchebag.
Have you seen the promos? He's going to have a new show.
No, but he's a wild narcissist. And I mean, you can say what you want about me, but I don't have that kind of narcissism. He's fucking insanely narcissistic.
Really?
Insane. Yes.
So I would have been miserable had I...
Oh, listen, I don't have any personal beef with the guy. I've never, had a real issue with him. I've done a show a million times. And look, I'm just going to, Craig, if you're listening, sorry, I'm just going based on what every human being who's ever crossed your path has said about you. Fucking douchebag. That's all I've ever heard about the guy.
I hadn't heard
the general consensus.
But in my mind, I thought, but I could be the person that brings him out of his douchebaggery.
I've seen you try it with Brusca and Silver. And, no can do.
No, you're right.
No can douche to you. You don't have... here's the point.
It's a great show. A lot of fun.
When you're a douchebag, you're a douchebag. It's like being a shark or a jet.
Okay, you don't change. You never get out of the game.
If a nice-hearted Jewess who was hopped up on Demerol could pull you out of your douchebaggery, you wouldn't be a douchebag.
What you're saying is that douchebaggery is not fluid.
It's a way of life.
Okay, you don't ever change.
It's not like somebody goes, "Hey, man, you're kind of out of line." It'd really be awesome. The right woman should turn you around, or the right producer, or the right whoever, or the right. Counselor or the right boss or program director. No, that's part of being a douchebag. It's fucking cradle to grave. You take it with you.
Leopards don't change their spots.
No.
But sometimes these super narcissists are super talents. Like people say that about Letterman.
Oh, yeah.
And yet he's incredibly talented.
They're oftentimes incredibly talented. Madonna, Prince, Letterman, they're all, exquisite douchebags, I'm sure, and exquisite narcissists. And, yes, they're exquisitely talented. A part of it is they're not up in their head second-guessing themselves all the time.
Right, I know. That's not helpful.
Yeah. Look, here's all I'm saying. Letterman is a narcissist, and people should just... call it what it is.
Right.
And let's go ahead and separate the work from the man. It's like saying Wagner was a great guy. No, he was a great composer.
Right.
But not a great, I'm sure not a great individual.
Yeah, I mean, a bit of a Nazi, they
right.
say.
Yes. That's all I'm saying. So go ahead and go, okay, Letterman, great, Woody Allen, great filmmaker.
Right.
Bad stepdad. Or the world's greatest, depending
on how
you look at it. Yeah. All right. So, T, it doesn't look like you got it?
Well, I have this magical thinking that even when I which is weird.
You'd be funnier than he is.
No.
Which would be a problem.
No, I don't think so. He's a funny guy. But I did leave there and think, I don't know what happened. Either if they want somebody really low energy.
Right. Like if the breakdown says drooler.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, because it was like, you know, the script was actually kind of funny.
Mm-hmm.
But the jokes I added were a bit wordy.
Were you doing a sketch?
Well, it's going to be sort of like scripted conversation about if we were talking about the news of the day and it was scripted, made to sound like it was improvised.
Well, speaking of the news, I think we're going to do it in a second. And Brian, I know you're on your last leg of the chemo, but remember that conversation we had earlier today where I said, you know what? I like your drops, buddy, and I like them so much. You can even throw in a few more.
Yeah.
I didn't know that meant 80% less. Thank you.
I know.
Hey, T-Bone.
Yep.
You going to do some news?
I am.
How about we get into that?
From the International News Center, next to Donnie's Mini Bites, this is the news with Teresa Strasser.
I love the New York Post for many, many reasons.
Sure.
As a special treat, I get the Post, maybe a bagel and a schmear.
Sure.
Just to complete the stereotype, I may have an ulcer. We'll find out.
Oh, really?
That's what they were in there looking for. So that's perfect. That would be perfect. Okay.
When do you find out whether you get an ulcer or not?
Well, you know what's weird? They used to think ulcers were caused by stress, but now they believe they're caused by a bug that you catch. And I believe that when I went in the hospital for my C's, there's no place to get sick like a hospital. Because there's all kinds of super bugs in there. And I think I might have caught the H. pylori. That's the bug that gives you an ulcer while I was in there.
So, historically, worrying does nothing for the... is nothing...
Well, worrying doesn't make any medical condition better, but it apparently does not cause ulcers. Taking a lot of Motrin can cause an ulcer.
Mm-hmm.
Smoking a lot can cause an ulcer.
And now, this is interesting.
Oh, look at Brian woke up.
I can't believe I was the first one to get Huel.
Yeah, you got Huel.
Shit, that means I was born.
That's right.
Yeah.
But well, that's amazing.
Yeah.
I miss that.
Yeah. So, you may have an ulcer.
Yeah, sorry. I went on a tangent there.
All right.
Like Huell Hauser visiting the Bug Museum.
Sure.
In my mind. Okay, so the New York Post is reporting on a man, the city's most litigious bum. But one reason I love them is their headlines. This one, the sweet stench of success. Of course, the S is a dollar sign.
Sure.
There's a bum, and they use the word bum because they're the Post.
I like that, yeah.
And they don't have to be politically correct. This guy, Richard Crimer, he's infamous for winning a lawsuit for $230,000 20 years ago.
In a weird way, homeless doesn't really describe what you are when you're that. You know what I mean? I mean, first off, there's plenty of people that don't own homes or have homes or even live in homes. Brian doesn't live in... Brian technically is homeless.
That's true.
And then there's plenty of people that are homeless that are, like, crashing out of their buddies' houses or sleeping on the sofa or traveling around or doing whatever. But a bum is a bum.
Yeah, it's different, you know.
Yeah, let's not be so politically correct.
A bum is a guy that looks for a half-smoked cigarette. He rides the rails.
Trailer for sale or rent. All right.
Rooms to let
50 dude. Cents. Yeah. All right, sorry.
Sorry. That is a true bum.
Ain't got no cigarettes, over 2 hours of pushing a broom. Right. All right, so, yeah, that's what a bum is.
That's a true bum.
Yeah, bum suggests there's an addiction issue.
Or perhaps a diagnosable mental illness, or both.
Yeah, or both, right.
So this guy won $230,000 20 years ago after being kicked out of a Morristown, New Jersey library for his body odor. He's now about to file his 18th lawsuit since 1988.
Mm-hmm.
So this guy essentially...
But he won $230,000?
Yeah, for being kicked out for his body odor.
Oh, can't we agree on certain things as a society? Like, you know, and why is everything this slippery slope that's going to lead us right into Nazi Germany and people goose-stepping up and down the street, you know? If your fucking house has a rotting carcass of a sofa on the lawn and it's ruining the view of all your neighbors, we should be able to tell you to remove the fucking sofa. And if your funk is so great that it's destroyed, the entry of a library, then you should be removed from the library, and then you should be ashamed. And we shouldn't reward you, by the way, with $230,000. And since when does a walk out to the sidewalk, as a non-taxpayer, mean you're worth $230,000. That's fucking ridiculous.
He's 61 now, and the Post goes on to call him, your favorite word, hobo.
Yeah.
The 61-year-old hobo plans to go after Amtrak in Philadelphia because he claims police forcibly removed him from the train station. He's got another lawsuit pending against New Jersey Transit for the same thing.
Who represents this guy?
He's got some kind of great lawyer because he has won an estimated $400,000 in payouts from at least four settlements over the last 20 years.
Really? It's almost like, as I look around at what's going on in this country, it's like we're fucking with ourselves. Like, it's almost like we are just fucking, like, we're cutters now. It's like we're turning the razor on our own inner thigh, and we're heavy set girls with no prom dates in our sophomore year of high school. Like, what the fuck are we doing? Like, can we regain our fucking sanity for a second and go, hey, fucking guy who's out of his mind, and anybody, frivolous or not, by the way, if you're going on your 29th lawsuit, I want you fucking drawn and quartered in the center of town. Like, we need to put you down. You should go through your whole life with zero lawsuits. I'll give you 2.5, but I want to see some scar tissue. But the people that are on their 15th or 20th fucking lawsuits, it's absolutely insane. And the idea that the court doesn't weigh that in, that's fucking nuts. Like, they do that thing where it's like, well, his last wife drowned in a bathtub, and then the other wife before that went missing when they went on a fishing trip.
It's but, inadmissible.
Inadmissible, of course. Inadmissible, it's all I need to know.
Exactly.
It's all I need to fucking know.
This guy has already been in court 17 times. So do you really think that his civil rights were violated, or was he incredibly smelly? By the way, he's filed claims against CVS Pharmacy, a New Jersey doctor, and a cheese shop. What's smellier than a cheese shop? I mean, how do you stink up a cheese shop?
I don't know, but if you can outdo Lindberger, which I grew up, every cartoon I ever saw just had a Lindberger joke. And by the way, where is Lindberger? I thought, growing when I was 9 years old, I thought I'd just be living off of Lindberger cheese.
Went the way
of
the dodo.
Yeah.
Did it?
Yeah. There's no Lindberger cheese anymore.
Well, he got money from Seattle Cafe in Hoboken.
Fucking Havarti.
You think Havarti took over?
Stole's thunder. Yeah.
They accused him of stealing, so he sued them. Then a Chinese restaurant called the Chopstick House refused to serve him. He sued them and won. Mm-hmm. And then the New Jersey Transit subsidiary Pabco denied him access to the bus. He won there. So the Post set up a meet with him. And they said he looks very nice. He's got a cell phone and an ATM card.
How about the sign that they put up in almost every private business that says we have the right to refuse service to anybody that comes in here?
Well, I guess they can't supersede the law of the land.
Why are you putting that sign up? I mean, because it's not like a black guy could walk in and go, sorry, we don't serve colored people. You'd get sued or at least screwed with by the government. Why even put that sign up there?
Just be like Denny's and don't do it, but don't put a sign up.
Yeah, yeah. Don't broadcast.
They serve, but not the steak.
That's the whole thing. Well, listen, it's their fault for not tipping.
This guy said that he has not earned $400,000, and that the rumors that he carries all his cash around in a duffel bag are not true.
Well, yeah, he doesn't want to get rolled. I would squash that rumor pretty quick, too, if I'm sleeping on my cash of duffel, my duffel bag filled with cash out by the tracks every night.
What does he do with his money? He says he uses it to maintain a healthy diet of chicken and fruit to curb his diabetes. He has diabetes. Mm-hmm. Spends his afternoons riding the rails. Oh, good. Like in the song, King of the Road.
What do you do, though? Do you go, like, and then turn around and come back?
That's what the thing about riding the rails. You just go round and round. You're not going anywhere.
Yeah.
Except you're going places you hope throw you out so you can sue them.
Yeah.
His favorite place, by the way, is the Olive Garden. Mm. So maybe he could be like their Jared.
Yeah. He could be in that commercial where the couples of all different nationalities are having the fucking time of their lives eating shitty Italian food. I've never seen people so goddamn happy. Laughing. I've never been that entertaining. He says Olive Garden commercial. And it's like the two white couples and the one black couple, and everyone's good looking, and everyone's just laughing hysterically. And I've never seen someone so Like, by the way, you know, the bottomless salad bowl, that just means a bunch of shitty salad that you don't want to eat. And also, when food gets too cheap, you shouldn't trust it.
Yeah.
Because there's a reason why it's that cheap. Like, you know, when you go into Subway and they have, like, the lobster bisque footlong for $2.99.
Something's wrong.
Yeah, because lobster is $20 a pound, so you shouldn't be...
It's lobster-flavored meat product?
Whatever it is, what you should be doing is going the other direction, which is if you only have $5 to spend on a sandwich, you get the turkey sandwich because it's cheap, but don't get the caviar roll for $3. Something's wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, if it's too good to be true.
Well, that's the whole thing about a restaurant. Like, you know, inexpensive is awesome. When it starts getting too cheap, get suspicious.
Yeah, like House of Pies, for example. You know,
good name for TSV.
Yeah. Open 24 hours.
That's right.
I mean, the House of Pies.
No waiting.
One of the few places in LA that's open 24 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Get the pie. Don't get the fish.
No.
Know what I'm saying?
No. Yeah.
Don't order even the clam chowder.
Right.
Don't order any cut of meat.
Always wonder what people are doing. Always wonder when they're ordering shit that this place couldn't possibly produce.
Now, you say you've never been uproariously happy, and yet I've seen footage on TMZ that would contradict that.
That was high. That was artificial.
I went home last night thinking, you know, after my little Demerol experience, I got to get one of those marijuana tabs.
Yeah,
I feel some glaucoma coming on.
Yeah, I tell you, you could do a lot worse than one of those little.
Hey, Brian.
Hey,
Listerine don't you things. Have brain cancer? You can't get some pot Listerine strips for Mama
every damn night.
Yeah, just put them on your tongue and the troubles melt away.
That's right. I was gonna say the out of it for awake but on alert for is the best place to be. 6 hours, maybe 6 months.
Not yeah. So yeah. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a few hours kind of thing.
That's uncomfortably.
That's not good.
Yeah.
Well, you were extremely happy that night, and you enjoyed the hell out of some Sex in the City.
Yeah, they're called like med strips. I think I'm looking at them now.
Med strips.
Yeah, they're really little, and they're green, and you put them on your tongue, and even Angie would like the way they taste, and you get high as a kite, but happy high. Yeah.
Thought about Angie when I saw the Rainier cherries at the store yesterday.
Oh. Why do you have to pull the scab off of that?
I'm sorry.
Jesus Christ. One human being that doesn't like Rainier cherries.
She hates the most delicious food that God makes.
It's like somebody took a cherry and said, not good enough. This tastes like it came out of a squirrel's ass. Let's hit it with creatine and see what we can really get here. And you have the Rainier cherry. It's like a cherry with twice the meat. Oh, so fucking awesome.
Well, the Sex and the City writer Michael Patrick King was so desperate to keep plot lines for the sequel a secret that he had Kim Cattrall shoot fake scenes to trick the public. During shooting, paparazzi snapped photos of Kim Cattrall with a pregnancy test and a script that mentioned her character gets hitched, but it was all a fake out.
Did Kim know that?
Who knows? Is she on the strips?
I'm just saying, my acting is bad enough when I'm doing the real movie. If I know I'm just doing fake out, like decoy scenes, that would be, it'd be a lot of like, Carrie, Miranda, pregnant with twins.
Aren't you going to make any sexual entendres? Something about your other twins or something?
Jared,
out of
Smith, Jared, I guess, going to have to go anal for a while because pussy's out of commission. No,
can you sell it, though, a little? Usually you have that kind of, sexy kind
hot.
Of thing you do.
It's hot. Yeah, let me mash my boobies together and put some California roll on top of it.
That was not in the sequel, though.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Kim!
Huh?
Line.
What line? Why can't we have cue cards? Fucking Leno can use them. Why can't we use them?
Well, it's just sight lines. It's confusing when you're supposed to be talking to
Carrie.
Put
them on your fucking head. What are they going to do? Stare at my feet?
All right. People kind
of expect. I'm pregnant.
But people kind of expect you to do that Kim Cattrall, the Samantha thing that you do, that you've been doing for years. You can't. She said, quote, "One day I went to the set with my script in my hand and some paparazzi blew up the script and gave away the storyline. So I said to Michael Patrick King, 'They're going to ruin it for the fans.' He said, 'I think we should play a little trick on them.' I said, 'Okay, what are we going to do?'"
Hold on, you said fans, right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That was a derogatory term for the gays. Something
no,
else.
No, fans.
Okay, well, that's who's watching. Okay, sorry.
So what are we going to do? What about pregnancy? They'll freak out if Samantha is pregnant, he said. No, no, no. Let's marry her. So designer Patricia Fields then went out and got three wedding dresses for Kim to try on, and instantly the wedding rumor spread.
Ah, yeah. No one gives a shit. And by the way, I don't know if they're going to make a third. Do you think they're making a third?
How is this one doing?
It came in, I think, last weekend. It was number two at the box office, but disappointing.
But what about overseas? Shrek. Do you think people overseas care about Sex and the City? Can they sell it in foreign markets?
Number two.
You said C's. I thought you meant cunts.
Sorry, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, I thought it was going real well
with
cunts.
That was confusing.
Oh, overseas.
Oh, I see. This the audience of C's, they always go out on opening night to see
It's getting a whopping 70%, a robust 17%, I should say, on the Rotten Tomatoes meter.
Oh, and God. Speaking of, I pulled a Jew ass stunt the other day.
What'd you do?
I went to a movie because it was at a convenient time without reading a single review or checking Rotten Tomatoes.
Wow.
I had no idea what I was going to get.
And how was it?
Good.
What was it?
Yeah, now I can't remember the name of it. You might know, with Andy Garcia.
He was other people.
No.
What was it?
I want to say City of Angels or something like that. Angel City.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to be an actor.
Was it good?
It was so good. I loved it. So I got lucky. But, I mean, anything could have happened.
And you just went out during the day?
My husband and I were going to have a little afternoon, you know, date, mommy and daddy date.
Jesus, is he pee-whipped? Went in the middle of the day to see Andy Garcia film?
There was nothing else planned. You know, when you have a kid, and yet, you know, we had our sitter from 2 to 6.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to see at 3 o'clock. Mm-hmm. That was the only thing playing.
All right.
It was very good. Small, independent movie. Julianne Margulies played his wife. It was excellent. I loved it. City Island. That's the name.
City Island.
Thank you. Yeah, very good.
Very good.
Yeah, I think it does have quite a high score, but I didn't know that. It could have been awful.
We'll figure it out.
And there's your ArcLight prices and everything. Yeah. And you could just be sitting there watching.
You know, that is your Jew-ass stunt of the week.
Yeah.
Let's do one more story and then I'm going to take a phone call.
Ooh, a phone call.
Yeah.
ABC has decided not to pick up The Ghost Whisperer, putting an end to the Jennifer Love Hewitt series.
First off, that show has been, that's been like six or seven seasons, right?
After five wonderful seasons and over 100 episodes, we are disappointed to announce Ghost Whisperer will not be returning for a sixth season.
That fucking slot where they put you on Friday night about 8 or 9 o'clock, you can just get lost in there.
And no one even knows.
Yeah, no one even knows you're there. It just keeps going.
That's a sweet spot.
Yeah, that's where you want to be. You know, everyone talks about, you know, you want to be in the primetime lineup, you want to be Thursday night, or you want to come on after, Big Bang Theory or something like that. Better to just go on Friday night and just sort of get lost. And I think that's what happened for the last five. I don't know. I mean, I guess for the dudes, it was Walker, Texas Ranger. As far as like the show, no one I know has ever seen ever, but was around for 9 seasons. And for the chicks, maybe it's The Ghost Whisperer.
Did you ever see Dr. Quinn?
No. Now Numbers and Bones are the two shows I've heard about a million times. Never seen one ever.
Mentalist.
The Mentalist.
Lie to me.
The more promos I see, the less I want to see it. Like, I've just decided. Like a restaurant. You know when that new restaurant pulls into town and you go, I might check that out. And somewhere around the 10th time you pass it, you start getting angry at it. And then like 2 years into it, you go, fuck that place. For some reason, the more times you pass it without going in, the less likely you are to go in.
That's how you feel about The Ghost Whisperer.
Mm-hmm.
I think Jay Mohr used to be on it.
Yeah.
Am I crazy? He's coming on.
That's my boy.
I know. I can't wait for him to do the show.
Yeah. He used to be on that. And then, well, she was going out with Jamie Kennedy and then broke up with Jamie Kennedy.
Yeah, and he was on that.
Yeah.
So, and then I think Aisha Tyler was on because I remember when
she
did our show.
That's right.
She said
three times, fool.
Mm-hmm. And then I remember her saying that love, I guess she's called Love, got really clingy.
She wants to be called Love.
Yeah, she wants to be called Love.
She's told me that before.
She got clingy with Aisha Tyler.
Really?
Aisha Tyler had to kind of...
Really?
Yeah, very clingy.
Mm.
So...
Gee, I'd like to watch them cling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They are both beautiful.
Yeah.
And that was the second episode of when we change formats from the strictly one-on-one or the just the one-on-two, whatever Adam did without any
structure. Yeah, it was four episodes a week, one-on-one typically, with one Tuesday. It's kind of throwback to the old format, but it wasn't fully like the old format. It was like them attempting something similar.
Yeah. And by the format, we mean when Brian and Teresa would sit in and they would do news and they had the sound effects, and it was a lot more like the morning radio show, which we actually still do today.
Correct.
All right, let's get going with another clip. But first, got to remind everybody to start 2021 off right with Tommy John. All right, trade out whatever cheap underwear was sliding down and riding up last year and get some Tommy John. And once you've tried it, you're never going back. Tommy John doesn't have customers. They have fanatics. And I know one of them. It's Gio.
I had to make sure to get in my lounge pants before we recorded. We were supposed to record at 10. I was like, you know what? If it's 10:01, I don't care. Put these pants on.
Yeah, it's good any time of the day. It's so comfortable. They have that no wedgie guarantee and the best pair you'll ever wear, or it's free guarantee. That's a double guarantee. Tell them about it, Gio.
Go to TommyJohn.com/classics and save 15% on your first order. Go right now. Save 15% right now at TommyJohn.com/classics. That's TommyJohn.com/classics to save 15% on your first order. See site for details.
All right, now that we all have our Tommy Johns on and are lounging comfortably, let's listen to some music. And one of my favorite performances ever on The Adam Carolla Show was done by Wheeler Walker Jr. What can we tell him about Wheeler Walker Jr.?
Well, he's a guy who's a country artist. He's a little unconventional. And he may be another guy as well who's also a guest on the show, or not. It's not for us to say. This is Adam Carolla Show 2039, Wheeler Walker Jr., Joe Coy, Gina Grand, Brian Bishop. No Joy in this portion. It's just Wheeler performing live in the studio. We've played these before, but they're hilarious. And again, I think I like the live in studio versions better than his album cuts. He's just come into Carolla Digital for every time he records an album and just do it there, one take, and release it that way.
Yeah.
This is Adam Carolla Show 2039 from March of 2017. Summer's in Kentucky, live in studio.
So what song we going to do?
This is a summer song. It's my first summer song. A little kind of serious for me. This one's called Summers in Kentucky. We're from Kentucky, so It's about being on the road and missing home. And I'll just go ahead. Sneaking out of my house, I was just 16. Met you in the dark down by the creek. We'd mess around till we got cold feet. Summers in Kentucky, they were hard to beat. 25 years later, our lives have changed. Meeting girls on the road who are half my age. Sometimes I think about the creek when I'm on stage. Summers in Kentucky, man, I miss that place. Used to press your pussy up against my mouth. Now you've had a couple kids and it's all stretched out. But I'm starting to think we could figure it out. Summers in Kentucky, wanna be back now. Ever feel like ditching your man? Grab your kids, hit the road with a country band. There's room for all y'all inside of my van. We can start our lives all over again. Heard you gained a few, got saggy tits, but who am I to say, cause I've aged like shit. Why I think we'd be the perfect fit. summers in Kentucky, man, I sure miss it. I'd give up all the pussy in the young shaved muff. Bring your flabby ass back, that would be enough. You and I both looking pretty rough. Since the summers in Kentucky, man, I miss that stuff.
Oh, whoa, man, Wheeler Walker Jr. and Junior Jr., Baby Jr. with him.
Thanks, man. That was that was the first time I've played that since we recorded in the studio. That's a world premiere.
That was one of the more serious songs you said.
That is the serious song. Yeah.
And that was Wheeler Walker Jr. performing Summers in Kentucky live, one of my favorite songs that's ever been.
It's actually kind of poignant in addition to being hilarious. It's kind of a beautiful song.
It really is.
It's vulgar, but it's pretty.
He has a similar style to Josh Gardner where there's a little bit of misdirection. It just sounds like there's something so beautiful that's going to happen, and then something even more beautiful appears as the song as the song goes on. So, and we played a Josh Gardner song pretty recently too. So we love that stuff, and I think that's why Adam really enjoys all these musical performances, especially the comedic ones. It's just
I've heard Wheeler live on other shows. It's fine, but these ACS versions are exceptional. I think it's just the energy in the room.
Yeah, the energy is definitely there, and props to Dawson for making it sound oh so good. All right.
Agreed.
Let's get going with another clip. This one, the musical performance isn't going to hit the same way because it's going to be all the guys reacting to that time when Yoko performed with John Lennon and Chuck Berry.
Yeah, so this is Adam Carolla Show 2033. The guest was Dave Barry, not in this portion. Matt actually did a Rotten Tomatoes game. He is in the opening chunk for a few minutes while Adam talks about seeing or missing a screening of Kong Skull Island. And then it jumps to later in the show during Gina's News where they're talking about the death of Chuck Berry. And Adam wants to riff on this clip of this infamous performance that a few other people have riffed on, but I think Adam's is the funniest. Again, this is Adam Carolla Show 2033, March of 2017. Check it out.
And now, he wasn't a fan of Chuck Berry's work as a musician, but he loved his work as a pervert, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on Mandy. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. Thanks for sharing all the good news we give you every day here on the show. Good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
And Bald Brian.
In case I haven't made it clear, you suck.
Matt Atchity, everybody. Just checking Matt Atchity. Just checking them Rotten Tomatoes today. Always looking and seeing what's out there. Just blindsided with Kong. I never go and see movies.
Did you see Kong?
No, because I said to Sonny. I said, Sonny, did you see Kong? And he said, yep.
Oh, that's right.
And I said, you want to see it again with your old man? And he said, yep. And he really dug it, Kong. And then I said, good. Saturday night, we shall see Kong. And then the biggest problem was, do we go 3D Kong at 8 p.m. or regular Kong at 5:30 p.m.?
That's a lot of Kong.
It's a lot of Kong and a big decision to make. And then found out there was a kid's birthday party. My house, we don't keep schedules until the thing happens.
Mm. It's happening. It's upon us.
It's until it's upon us. Mm. So then I always find out things are upon us. So no Kong.
No big dry erase board in the kitchen.
Not so much.
It's an improv house.
It's an improv house. Fast and loose. Or it's all like a... We're like a jazz quartet, except for nobody can really play. But we improvise. Right. But no one can play their instrument.
So it's modern jazz.
Yeah. It's modern. Yeah. It's a modern jazz
fusion.
Quartet
fusion.
where nobody can control their instruments. But we still refuse to learn to read music or study it.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah,
we do that thing where like we'll just do it 2, 3, 4, and then everybody starts doing their own stuff.
What's the plan? Let's.
That's right. All right.
Punk rock, right?
I need a suggestion from the audience. Get to the party on time.
But I hear Kong is good. So
you see Kong, actually?
I have not seen Kong.
Oh.
No.
It is good.
It's good.
Yeah, that's what I hear.
Brian, do not. You're going to give your daughter an eating disorder, I'm telling you. That's a sweet, what is that, a turkey you made out of craft paper? You know, use your hand.
Look at you.
All right. It's a 7. I mean, 6.5.
It's clearly a hand, but I know what you're going for. It's fine. It's a good start.
It's fine.
Yeah, it's a cute little movie.
Don't give her an eating disorder the first day on solid food.
That's right. It's the first day on solid food today.
So we did not see it, but I heard he liked it, and I heard from others it was fun, too. So we're looking forward to that.
It is fun.
I have the version. I told these guys, take my 23-minute live home improvement show from the Eagle Rock Public Access Station, now defunct, from 1993, my original Ace on the House, my home improvement questions.
We saw clips of brief clips of this on the Adam and Kroll and Friends Bill stuff last.
Right,
look how young and fresh faced Adam is.
Yes, just do it. But I said
same hair, same 5 o'clock shadow.
No more beeps anymore. Just we can just hear what it sounds like live. People actually, and they cut it together, obviously. But
set the table, public access show before. Was this concurrently with when you started at K Rock, or is this before that?
This is. I showed this to Jimmy. You know the story,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, but I didn't know if you were still doing it. I didn't know if you were still doing it.
Oh, no. No, I no.
Gave up that ghost.
Yeah, I was done doing
that. Moved on up.
This was free. So, this is before I met Jimmy. This is more than a year before I met Jimmy, and this the tape I showed him to try to get in the door, but
this is sizzle reel.
It's my sizzle reel, but let's hear the sizzle reel.
Live, you're on the air, on the house. Give me your home improvement question, your home fix it question. I'd love to answer it for you. Live, you're on the air.
Yeah, how do you masturbate with the monkey?
You're on the air live. Who is this?
Fuck you.
Live, you're on the air.
Aren't you a wannabe Tim Allen?
You put the linoleum on top of that.
Uh-huh. And do you like to put that on your penis?
Hello, why don't you have men on your wall, you fucking faggot?
What are your home improvement questions? Live from beautiful Eagle Rock, California.
Women be
so pathetic. All right.
No,
we're going to it. I've been doing this for 10 years.
Okay, fuck you.
Okay.
8-year-old.
What are your children?
Boy, it's just like listening to the podcast.
I know. It was brutal. So brutal.
And you'd never get into it with these guys. You just, they either hang up or you move on.
I don't.
No, fuck you.
I don't care. I had the weirdest thing. I just had a conversation with somebody where somebody said a guy, somebody he was working with or something, called him stupid. And the guy, like, said, that really pissed me off. Like, it really whatevered me. And I thought to myself, I don't think that would piss me off. I mean, unless I thought I was stupid. Mm-hmm. Or whatever critique I've ever gotten, unless I thought that's what was going on. But then it was something other than anger you got back with that washed over me. But no, I figure you do a live public access show and 9-year-old or 14-year-old boys call in and yell, fuck you. I figure that's how it works.
It's part of the description.
Yeah.
That, and whoever was sitting there, it could be a rabbi sitting there with religion on the line, and they still yell, fuck you.
You know, I got to tell you, you listen to that, and it's a lot like what it would sound like if all of the comments on a YouTube video were on audio.
This was all these people went to be on YouTube commenters.
Right. Yeah.
In their day, they actually had to dial a phone.
Exactly.
I will point out that
couldn't just sit at the other end of a keyboard. Yeah. We had to call someone and be shitty.
Mm-hmm. You were indefatigable, and you were relentlessly upbeat. Like, you could not be brought down by the caller. Like, hey, it's on the line.
I've always found it to be amusing. I don't know why, but I find it amusing.
Yeah.
And not like a condescending, patronizing way. Just, I always found it amusing when
it's
people
part of the
do
game,
that.
If you will.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess growing up how I grew up and being like physically assaulted by my friends so early and often and having horrible things said all the time.
That sets you up for success in a career in public broadcasting.
I always find this stuff amusing. I mean, maybe being an atheist has something to do with it. I never, also, obviously, you play into their hand.
Yeah, of course.
When you get very upset about it, but that was never a strategy. It was just never found it to be any, they were doing it for humor, and I appreciated them trying humor on my show. That's the way it always felt to me.
Would they ever ask a real question and really set you up for like a long baba booey? Or they
just the one guy did, because remember he was like, what do you do?
With the linoleum.
Yeah, the linoleum. You obviously got to do an answer.
There was some of that stuff. It may have been pre-Bubba Booey, but not a F-A-U-E. That was always in vogue. I don't even remember if Howard Stern was on out here in Los Angeles back then. Now, Gary can figure it out. It must have been 92 or 93, somewhere in there, 94. I'm trying to think. But if it was, I may not have been listening to it immediately anyway. All right, Gina Grad, what do we got?
Lots of news.
All right.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gina Grad. Breaking viral all over.
those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gina Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Need news with Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Well, as you know by now, Chuck Berry died Saturday in his hometown of St. Louis. He was 90 years old. The father of rock and roll created an enduring legacy of teenage music, which became a songbook for countless musicians, to name a few, the Beatles, Beach Boys, Rolling Stones, Bruce Springsteen. In fact, John Lennon summed it up by saying, quote, if you were going to give rock and roll another name, you might call it Chuck Berry. But while Berry may have done much to lay the groundwork for...
I still love him and Yoko. That footage of John singing with Chuck Berry, his idol. The British guys idolized the black blues guys.
That's true. Mick Jagger, they're huge.
All the British guys loved all the black blues guys from the 50s and 60s. And so they idolized. So for John Lennon to get up on stage and sing with Chuck Berry was a, even though John Lennon was John Lennon, I think it was a much bigger deal for John Lennon.
I've never seen that footage.
And then Yoko.
Well, it's notable because Yoko was there.
Oh,
she was on stage. Performing.
Oh, no.
Gary will dig that out, but it's awesome because it's Yoko contributing as only Yoko can, which is by not doing anything because she doesn't possess any talent at all. This is from, I don't know, Mike Douglas or something, or one of those shows from back in the...
Yep, Mike Douglas show, 1972.
Yoko's playing the non-instrument.
Oh, help me,
so you gotta realize, the marching order for Yoko, sweetie, pull up an apple crate. We're gonna take this hollowed-out gourd with some lambskin pulled over it. We're not gonna mic it up, and you just sit there and, you know, tap in time. Oh, Yoko's got the mic.
The last time I saw Marie, she's waving me goodbye.
Hello, John.
Hello. My hand is on my cheek, trickle from her eyes. Marie is only
John and Chuck are sharing a microphone. Yeah. Having like a moment.
What the hell was that? Memphis,
she picked the microphone from waist high at her bongo and started yelling into it.
Is Chuck just politely ignoring that?
Yes.
Yeah. Because he's got a strong pimp hand, but he's keeping it in his pocket. He made a move to her like, hey, bitch.
Yeah.
Zip it. Your voice like an instrument, like so while everyone else is doing that thing, that crescendo move at the end, she's like, oh, all right,
wow.
He'll be missed.
Well, I saw your tweet, Brian, and about David Wilde maybe coming in, and I think that's apt because a lot of people know that there was a sort of an infamous
side. An eccentric side to Chuck Berry?
Sure, to Chuck Berry. Couple of things. He had been incarcerated near the height of his fame for transporting a minor over state lines. He later served time in jail for tax evasion. He was also hit with a class action lawsuit from multiple women accusing Berry of making videotapes while they were undressing and using the bathroom on his property and at a restaurant. You know about these videotapes, yes?
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know. I know people who claim to have seen them, but I have not seen them myself.
Production quality is low, but that's part of the charm.
Mm-hmm.
So I've heard.
Yeah.
That was weird. I turned on my tweets today, and I saw one from President Obama saying, like, hey, we're going to miss you, pal. And I thought, that's a little weird for the guy who had the 60-something women come forward, like, in this day and age. Yeah. Like, you can say a legend, he'll be missed, but it's weird. It's like he said, like, buddy. Hey, buddy. And it was because I don't know. Like, I'd be – I feel like in this – with the Cosby stuff floating around out there and whatever's going on out there, Chuck kind of – missed that.
Yeah,
he kind of dodged a bullet there.
Yeah, he had his run was at a good time.
But also, I feel it's weird to get personal with it because I think he had a you know, a couple skeletons in that closet.
Yeah, 60.
He said
questionably tasteful. Yes.
He had one in his. I think the problem was is he had a camera in his restaurant, mm-hmm. and he said it was there because he wanted to monitor people like getting ripped off. He thought he'd get ripped off, but then I think he had one at home mm-hmm. too, which didn't help. And then I think he had the tapes, and then he settled, which is a million point whatever mm-hmm. $1.3 $1.3 million or something like that, which usually means this wasn't just a surveillance camera because right. you're getting ripped off. But I don't. Was it just for them like disrobing, or was it a going to the bathroom
well,
part?
I've heard that there's at least one videotape, and this is just from somebody who told me about it, who's seen it, that there's a POV of him holding the camera and urinating on a young woman mm-hmm. and oh, really boy. Having a good time with that. Mm-hmm. So I think that might have been a thing of his.
Mm-hmm. All right.
So I don't know. Be missed. I didn't see it personally.
I loved Johnny B. Goode when I was a kid. I thought that was yeah. the greatest rock, one of the greatest rock songs
my
ever.
My first favorite song.
It was one of my first favorite songs, too. But my problem with Chuck Berry is he had 8 songs that sound almost exactly alike. And I was sort of like, I love Johnny B. Goode, and then there's other songs. But when you hear the first 10 seconds of the song and you didn't know what song it was, it felt like creatively, like,
stunted.
Maybe you should move past this a little bit. But,
all right. Served him well.
Served him well. Also, it's one of those things, too, where everyone talks to you about what to do. Half the pictures, I saw the guy's holding a cigarette, and the other time he's holding his dick, and the other half he's holding a drink. It's like, I don't feel like that guy ever ate a piece of tofu or did a push-up in his life. I just feel like he was who he was. Yeah. And it's like, 90. Like, if that's who you are, you're just going to 90.
Yes.
Like, do you feel like Chuck Berry's clock was preordained for 90, and therefore have all the vermouth and smoke all the cigarettes you want. You're just going to die when you're 90.
No amount of dangerous living, and you know, in his 30s or 20s is going to change that.
Right. Okay.
And that was the gang talking about Yoko Ono ruining a performance with John Legend and Chuck.
How dare you? She sprinkled in her talents.
You know, you're right, because I don't think that clip would have been nearly as famous and revered as it is now because of what Yoko contributed. So you could be very much right. All right, let's keep the music going, though, because we have one more clip, and this one features Freddie Johnston.
We played this one before, but not in well over a year. And I was going back through, I wanted to put some musical performances, and there's only so many we have, you know. And I was listening to this one, I was like, well, this is really beautiful. And Adam really wants to get a story out of Freddie Johnston in this episode. It's Adam Carolla Show 945. Allison Rosen and Brian Bishop also there, October of 2012. And Freddie plays Evie's Tears live in studio. Adam is insisting there must be an Evie, and Freddie denies it until the end of the song. Check it out.
Let's check Adam's voicemail, brought to you by eVoice.
H-Man, has Ray ever met his match? I know he's like indestructible badass, but has he ever run into more than he could chew? I'm just interested. Tell the story on the air if it actually has happened. Because I know he's like, again, indestructible. All right, see you guys.
Click the eVoice banner on AdamCarolla.com or go to www.evoice.com/Adam to get an exclusive 6-month free trial offer. eVoice, your mobile phone at work.
To answer that question quickly, no. Although one time we were in the parking lot of a roller skating place when we were like 19 or 18, and he did one of his usual fuck with a stranger thing, and the guy turned around and he was like John Matuzak size. Like, it was one of those, you know, in a movie where the guy gets out of the car and keeps going, you know, and he's 6'8", and he's, you know, 315 pounds, and Ray had to kind of leave the guy alone. But he did fuck with the guy first. Yes, that was about the only time. Freddie Johnston is here. Good to see you, Freddie.
Oh, it's great to be here. Hi, Adam.
I love me some Freddie Johnston. You got a good vibe. I love that about you.
Oh, man.
And
right back at you.
We had a nice powwow outside because I gave the well, Freedy, we're on our third musician in a row on the show, which is unlikely. But do you want to play? Do you need to play? And he said, I'm a musician. I always like to play. And I said, yeah. But listen, I'm a comedian, and I hate telling jokes, so it doesn't always work out that way. And we went around a little bit, and then I threw out a deep cut from This Perfect World, a song called
Album Cut?
Evie's Tears, yeah.
You want me to play that?
I love that. I love the whole album, as I've said. I don't know who that is about or where that brings you.
Well, it's really not about anyone. It's just a song, you know.
Really?
I just made it up.
Yeah, you have to say that?
I know, it's terrible, but...
Are you shitting me?
I should make something up, shouldn't I? I should make up a better story
what
than that.
What if the Knack did that with my Sharona? How devastated would you be?
So Evie broke my fucking heart.
Yeah, that's what
I'm
saying.
I love being able to say that on radio.
Right, and now it's payback time, right?
So payback time, exactly.
You wrote a song about her tears.
Yeah, exactly. Adam, you're taking me the right direction.
Wait, how do you write a song about Evie's tears if there's no Evie?
Well, I don't know. I mean, you know, how do you, you know, you just got to make stuff up in life. You know how it is.
Yeah, but
you
got to
stay on the beach ball.
But I would come up with Cheryl's tears or Becky's tears.
Well, no,
but
I'll tell you how.
Evie.
I'll tell you how it happens. When you're writing a song, you're going along, you're going la da dee da da da, and whatever sounds right. Evie's just happened to, you know, phonetically sound right. That's all it was. Honestly.
Well, it's again.
Everyone asks me who Evie is. Everyone does. You know, they name their cats Evie and all that.
Really?
Well, it happens.
Oh,
you know?
No, I know. I know. Listen, I like I said, This Perfect World is really just a perfect album. And Freedy, like I said, I was turned on to when I was house-sitting just listening. It was also that time when people weren't snobs either. Like, I would be like, you'd be at someone's house and there'd be a CD there and you'd go, I'm going to check it out. Now I'm like, you know, I have to go find you, but I'm not going to – if I was hanging out at your house, I wouldn't be just checking out your CDs. You know what I'm saying?
Right, yeah.
It's different now than it was.
Somehow. I don't know why.
I don't know why either, but somehow I had an open heart. Oh, I know. I had an open heart and an empty wallet, and I would listen to other people's shit. So we were just standing back there, and I said, well, if we're going to go for something, let's go for something cool that my listeners probably have never – possibly heard. I don't know, and it's such a beautiful song, and as it turns out, it's a very poignant song about no one. But it's called Evie's Tears.
Yeah, it's the best I could do.
And do you do it when you play, or am I catching you pretty far
off
guard?
I play it every night.
You play it every night when you go out?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. All right.
It's one of those.
Okay, good. And people should know, by the way, live dates for Freedy Johnston. You can go to the website, freedyjohnston.com. And November 2nd, he's going to be at the High Noon Saloon in Madison, Wisconsin. And on the 9th, Dakota Jazz Club. And November 10th, Tycoons in Duluth, Minnesota. Dakota Jazz Club, also in Minneapolis. Minneapolis, happening town, right? For
great
music?
Town, certainly. And the Dakota, you know, best place in town.
Much, much hipper, much cooler, much more whatever-er than you would think, Minneapolis.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I was surprised.
Absolutely. Come on. You know, the Replacements and Prince and
sure.
Soul Asylum.
Sure.
It
goes on and on, except there's no more.
Well, no, there are many, but, you know, those three. Yeah, that's quite a bit.
And then the Time, the guys who battled Prince,
then, yeah,
or whoever they were.
Day at the Time. Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
they were there. I was very surprised by, because when you travel around, you get a little, like, you become a snob. You go, all right, there's L.A., and then there's New York, and then you go, all right, I'll give you San Francisco and Chicago. And
then people make you say Austin.
Yeah, and they make Austin. You say Austin. Yeah, I hear Austin's really cool. All right, that's it. And then then they try to shoehorn in Seattle, and you go, listen, if I start including Seattle, then I got to put Portland in. All right, Seattle and Portland. Yeah, but that's it. And then they go, Minnesota's got a thing going on over there in Minneapolis. And you go, please. And then you go out there, and it's really happening. All right, so... I only do it by I don't know where I asked Mike where we played over there, but sold out two shows over there at a really cool music theater. Freedy, so you want to do some
sure.
Evie's Tears?
Yeah, I will. I'll play a song for you. Oh, boy.
So your inspiration for this song was, I got to make me some money?
Well, no, it just came out of thin air, and it needed some words. That's how it was.
Okay. It
appeared. I sometimes write songs about real things.
Sure you do.
In the middle of her confession, he comes over and pulls her near. I wake up, she's been crying. I guess he was here again. Evie's tears are never gonna dry. Evie's guilty tears burn this bed she comes to only when it's light. We met in a lonely summer, two survivors of paradise. She ran out when I first touched her, but now she wakes me every night. Evie's tears are never gonna dry. Evie's secret tears burn this bed she comes to only when it's light. Faithless girl, you've been dreaming, staring up, your face is white with fear. All right, now I'm listening, you're not mine and he's not here. And he's not here. In the middle of Evie's garden, in a simple iron chair, wind's blowing and she's been singing, begs the moon to disappear. Evie's tears are never gonna dry. Evie's guilty tears burn this bed she comes to only when it's light. Tears she comes to only when it's light. Catholic girl, you've been dreaming, staring up, your face is white with fear. All right, now I'm listening, you're not mine and he's not here.
Reedy Johnston, Evie's Tears, just pulled a nice album cut. Thank you so much, Freddie. I really
thank you
for indulging me. Beautiful song about no one and nothing, no but one. Still.
But well, did you have experiences that had sort of inspired it?
Say no, please. It's going to be.
I should say no. Yeah, the song was written about somebody else, and I changed the name. I'm sorry.
Oh, really?
I'm sorry. You just wore me down, Prosecutor.
Really?
You just wore me down.
Yeah,
but I'm not gonna freaking say who.
It was very specific.
I just wore me down. I'd rather cop a plea.
Okay. I know it's Dave Coulier, but that, you know, I'm just going to say it.
The eyebrows.
Keep writing songs about Dave Coulier. They're all about Dave Coulier.
Sometimes in a theater, sometimes
that's right.
Not.
All these, yeah. Anyway.
Freddie Johnston in studio. And again, if you want to see him live, and I recommend it highly, FreddieJohnston.com. All right, Freddie.
So nice. I just played McCabe's last night.
McCabe's.
I love that place with my my buddy Susan Castle and John D. Graham.
You may have heard of that. Saw John Hyatt do an acoustic show at McCabe's many, many years ago. And it's a great guitar shop that has a performing space in it.
Yeah,
and it's in Santa Monica or on Santa Monica or somewhere around there. Or Pico near Santa Monica, right in there. And it's just a great, cool, old place. And it's one of those places where you're glad it's there.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It's been there for a long time. And like I said, John Hyatt's acoustic set there was 86 or something. So it's been around for a million years.
And that was Freddie Johnston playing Evie's Tears.
Plus, off this perfect world, Adam has a very eclectic taste in albums, and they have a fun little discussion about Adam seeing John Hyatt live at a specific club that Freddie was playing, and Adam saw him doing an acoustic set in like the mid-80s, and it's really cool to hear Adam talk about seeing like shows and doing stuff like that, because we don't often get to hear Adam talk about that stuff.
Yeah.
And it was really, really nice little moment of nostalgia.
Adam's memory is insane to me. Like, just how he can paint these pictures of experiences that he had so many years ago, and to the point where you don't even remember him, or he, like, how can he possibly remember that? There are a lot of times when I tell him something, and years later he'll bring it up to me, but he'll never reference it before that.
You're like a white belt in studying Adam's memory, and I'm like a yeah. Kuma from the Street Fighter series. what I love is about his memory is he talks a lot about this. I've had to do this too. You have to like start pushing stuff out because new stuff comes in. And like I thought there was never going to be a limit on my own memory because there's so much stuff, it goes away. He does this thing, and Drew does it to an extent, but not as good, where he almost like makes little zip files or like little like images in his head of things. And if you hit the right chord, you can get a whole entire story he hasn't told in 10 or 20 years or completely forgot about. He'll even say, I completely forgot about this. And then he'll give you like the thing with the teacher talking about him carrying the girl in the class and everybody else being a jerk. He had no memory of it. And then as soon as it's brought up, he's like, oh yeah, I did do this. Oh yeah, and here's, let me give you some more details.
Yeah, it's insane to me, and I'll never understand it, and I'm quite jealous of it.
Well, once I finish writing my thesis on it, I will share it with you.
Please do. And then we'll meet at the dojo so you can kick my ass like you usually do. All right, well, before I get out of here, I got to remind you guys once again about GEICO. Because if you own or rent, and of course it's hard work, but let's make it easy for you. Bundle those policies with GEICO. Because GEICO
makes it easy.
Oh, it is. GEICO makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with that auto policy. So, as Gio said, it's GEICO easy. Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, see how much you could save. Visit GEICO.com today. That's GEICO.com. All right, Corolla Classics returns tomorrow. What do we got for tomorrow, Gio? What's on tap?
We have a continuation of the episode 2 of the ACS format with Greg Fitzsimmons. Greg's actually in studio. We get a little bit more of the news. And it ends on a hilarious closing riff about Adam talking about his parents and their mutual disgust for each other. And some quotes I can't share here, but they are fabulous. If you are not subscribed to the Corolla Classics feed, you must. We get a little more Wheeler Walker Jr. And we also get another surprise musical performance, but you have to tune in to find out.
Wonderful. We'll see you there tomorrow. My name's Chris Loxamana. That's Superfan Giovanni.
Follow and get it on.